And the great question is, in a world in which people are facing many pressures, many difficulties, many have ceased to believe, how are we as Christian believers to speak?
Welcome to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And that's a great question there. Colin, in this world that seems to have forgotten God, how do we as believers speak into the world?
Yeah, well, I've been very struck by the scripture that's in Isaiah chapter 40 that we're looking at today. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. We live in a very harsh world.
Right.
I mean, you just listen to, you know, the 24-hour news and the politicians battling it out one side and then another. There's a sort of underlying anger that seems to be even in public discourse, and that can so easily seep into even the life of the church. And we're particularly told here, comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. God says that about how we are to speak into the brokenness of this world. Now, we've got to speak clearly, we've got to speak strongly, but we've got to speak with a tenderness and with a compassion that reflects the Spirit of Christ.
And that's exactly what we're looking at in our message today. So if you can, join us in Isaiah chapter 40, looking at really the first five verses as we begin the glory of the Lord. Here's Pastor Colin.
We're continuing our Advent series that's called Waiting on the Lord. We began last week with this marvelous promise that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it's not surprising that Isaiah chapter 40 ends with waiting on the Lord, because the chapter is packed full of anticipations of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so over these next weeks, we're going to look together at these wonderful prophecies of the coming of our Savior from this chapter. Now, I want you to notice right from the beginning of the chapter that God himself is speaking. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. So God is speaking, and he is speaking through Isaiah the prophet, who's recording these words. But he is calling on someone else to speak. Comfort, comfort my people. Someone else is actually to be speaking this word of comfort. So there's a lot of voices here. God speaking through Isaiah about someone else who at some time in the future is to speak. And so what's going on here? Well, God had revealed to Isaiah that in future years, God's people would go through a great time of trial. And in fact, the whole first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah lay this out. It makes grim reading. The first part of the book of Isaiah is almost a relentless prophecy of judgment. We get these repeated pictures of enemies coming to the gates, the city of Jerusalem being plundered, the temple being destroyed, the people who survived being taken as prisoners of war and becoming exiles in Babylon and so forth and so on. All of this happened long after the time of Isaiah, but when it did happen, godly people needed to know what to do. And so what you have here is God giving direction through Isaiah for people who in the future would be speaking the word of God. Godly people in the future, coming to this time of disaster about which Isaiah had spoken, they would look to the scriptures, and they would be asking of the scriptures, now what are we to say? What are we to do? How are we to respond to this especially difficult situation in which we find ourselves? And so can you imagine the joy of these prisoners of war, these exiles? Some of them have been born as exiles. They've only ever known this captivity in Babylon. And they read through the first 39 chapters of a scroll of Isaiah, and they say, oh yeah, all this destruction, all this judgment, all these terrible things that have happened, that's us, that's us, that's us. And then finally they come to chapter 40, and they find that the scripture is speaking to them directly a word of hope. And that what is needed for these exiles is that they are to be comforted, and that those who are spiritual leaders are to speak comforting words to the people of God in these dire circumstances. And so here's what God is saying through Isaiah for godly people, generations in the future. They are to comfort God's people. They are to speak comfortably. They are to speak tenderly to Jerusalem. So these are directions then that are given to those who would later speak the word of God in times of great difficulty. And it follows, of course, that they are there for directions for us. They lay out how we are to speak the word of God to other people who are in captivity, who are facing great difficulty. How are we to bear witness to Jesus Christ? So here we are, we're coming into the Christmas season, and there will be opportunities for you to interact with neighbors and family members and friends and colleagues, and conversations that do not happen at other times of the year are going to open up. And as a Christian believer, if you are a Christian today, you are going to have the opportunity of speaking into the lives of other people. And the great question is, in a world in which people are facing many pressures, many difficulties, many have ceased to believe, how are we as Christian believers to speak? Now, that's what's before us here today. I want really to have two stopping points. The first is simply the messenger, and we're going to draw here a number of very important things about how we as believers are to speak for God. That's the messengers. And then secondly, we're going to look at the message, what it is that we have received from God that takes us to the heart of the Christmas story. So these two things today. First of all, then, the messenger, how we are to speak for God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Now here's God speaking to his own people, and he's telling us how we're to minister to others. How, as a godly father or a godly mother, are you to speak about God in your own home? How, as a life group leader, or a Bible study leader, or a person simply as a Christian who has the opportunity to witness, how are you to speak for God? Let me suggest these things that just come very obviously from the Word of God that's in front of us here today. First of all, speak from the heart and speak to the heart. Now notice how God says, comfort my people, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Let's take that in as we prepare ourselves for Christmas and all the opportunities of ministry that it involves. Speak tenderly. Or to translate that word another way, speak lovingly. Literally translated, that phrase means speak to the heart. And so this is God himself speaking to how his own folks are to minister. And he says, now speak from the heart and speak to the heart. When we speak in the name of the Lord, we are speaking in the name of the God who loves. And we are wanting to press into the minds and hearts of people who are deeply suspicious of him, that there is a great and an eternal and a divine love that beats in the heart of God that reaches out to them. Always remember that we are living in a time when many people are convinced that if God exists at all, he must somehow be against them. That if God really exists, that his main purpose is to kill all pleasure and joy. That he imposes impossible demands and all the rest of it. And because people are convinced that God has his fist towards them, they therefore respond with their fist towards God. This is the conviction of a lost person. The sense that God is to be resisted at all costs and that no good could ever come from getting near to him. And alongside that, put the experience of a lost person. Notice verse 2 refers to her warfare. There's an unrelenting battle. There is a constant conflict that runs in the heart of every person who is resistant to the claims of Jesus Christ of God upon their life. Remember this. Every person you meet, every person you ever speak to is in a battle. Think about the position of these exiles. They're far from the promised land. After 70 years, a huge number of them have never even seen the promised land. Everything that God speaks about and everything that God has promised seems to be at a great distance from them. All they have ever known is this captivity in Babylon. That's a kind of picture of the people who are around us in this world today. And remember this. That when Jesus sees people in their natural position of alienation from God. Remember what the Gospels tell us. Jesus looked at them and he had compassion. He had pity. He felt sorry for people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if we're to be really useful to the Lord, folks, we have to have that kind of compassion. Let me read to you a comment that was very striking to me from Martin Lloyd-Jones, and all the more striking because he said these words in 1954, 60 years ago. When I read them to you, you'll say, really? That was true 60 years ago? Well, the world never changes. Here's what Lloyd-Jones said. Quote, "I do not agree with those who think that the modern craze for pleasure and entertainment is to be denounced." Isn't that interesting? The modern craze for pleasure and entertainment apparently was going very strong in 1954. So the world doesn't change as much as we sometimes think that it does. And Lloyd-Jones says, "I do not agree with those who say that the modern craze for pleasure and entertainment is to be denounced." He says, it's not the business of the church to be standing up and condemning all the ways in which people are living. That's not what we're here for. I don't agree with that, he says. And he goes on to explain why. He says, people are living on pleasure in order to get out of this terrible struggle, if they can, just for an hour or two. They act as they do because life has defeated them, it has got them down. They cannot spend an evening at home happily with their own thoughts. And Lloyd-Jones says, I can understand them. They find this boredom unutterable and insupportable. They have nothing to rest on within themselves, and so they must have some pleasure outside of themselves. It is, he says, a constant warfare. Now, it is very good for Christian people to get off the self-righteous hobby horses that sometimes we can be duped into riding and to actually try and put ourselves in the position of what it actually means to be lost, to be alienated from God, to be under the power of sin. And you start taking that seriously, and you begin to have compassion. You begin, instead of condemning people, to start feeling sorry for people. You begin to experience the divine pity, or another word for that is mercy. And you begin to be in a position, instead of talking down to people, to be in a position of being able to speak tenderly. That's the word that God uses. Speak lovingly. Speak tenderly. Speak with compassion. Speak from the heart and speak to the heart. Do you feel sorry for the person who's on drugs? Do you feel sorry? Do you feel pity for the person who's moving from one partner to another, one experience to another? Do you feel sorry for the person who's caught up in the world of money and the pursuit of it and everything that can be gained by it? Speak tenderly. Try to display the love of God that reaches into this broken world in Jesus Christ. People who are tired of the battle do not need your condemnation nor mine. What they need is to hear a word of hope. So how are we to speak for God? Speak tenderly, speak from the heart, speak to the heart.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called The Glory of the Lord. And we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this teaching in just a little bit. Hey, if you joined us late, if you have to leave early, you want to go back and listen to a program again, or maybe catch up on one you missed, you can always do that by coming to our website. It's openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. And I hope you'll go check out the website, because we're going to be featuring something kind of special next week. Each weekday morning, we're going to have coffee with Colin through the website. He's going to be sharing a morning devotional from Psalm 73. It's one of the Psalms of Asaph. And if you are struggling, if you find yourself maybe being a little bit discouraged, I hope you'll check out Coffee with Colin next week at the website. We're going to release that each weekday morning. And then Colin and I will be having these celebration conversations each weekday over the noon hour as we reflect on the morning's devotional, check out some of the listener testimonies, and then celebrate what God is doing through the sharing of his word on Open the Bible. Hope that you'll be checking that out. And then Wednesday evening, we're going to have a special two-hour journey all the way through the Bible story. Pastor Colin's going to be showing us five people that we meet in the Old Testament. We'll learn about five events from the life of Christ and discover five gifts that God gives to every believer. And in doing so, you'll get a better understanding of the entire storyline of the Bible. Hope you'll check that out. You can get more information and register for that at our website, openthebible.org. And again, Monday through Friday morning, I hope you'll have coffee with Colin and join us over the noon hour for our celebration conversations. All of that's going to be at openthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
So how are we to speak for God? Speak tenderly, speak from the heart, speak to the heart. Second, remember as you bear witness to Jesus Christ that you are only a voice. You are only a voice. Look at verse 3. A voice cries. Whose voice? We're not told. In one sense, it doesn't really matter because what is being said is important rather than the person who's saying it. There's a voice, but there's no name. And you have the same thing in verse 6. Do you see that again? A voice says cry. Which voice? We're not told. Doesn't matter. Verse 9, go up to a high mountain, lift up your voice with strength. All these kind of disembodied voices, very strange voices everywhere in this passage of Scripture. Now, of course, we know from the New Testament that the voice that was crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, that that was wonderfully fulfilled in John the Baptist. And it's very fascinating when you read about John the Baptist, his stories in all four Gospels, people wanted to know about who he was, and John's Gospel particularly picks this up. And you can read in John chapter 1 and verse 22 that people are sent to John, and their question is, who are you? What do you say about yourself? And John gives this extraordinary answer. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's quoting, of course, from Isaiah, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet of Isaiah said. They say the world never changes. Here's John, and he's a little bit different. You know, he's got the camel hair and clothing, and he's eating the locusts and the honey, and everyone wants to know about John, John's personality. Now, who is John, and what does John have to say about himself? And John says, well, here's the only thing you need to know about me. I'm a voice. In other words, it's not me that matters. What matters is what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is the word of God. You can check it out for yourself in the prophet Isaiah. That's exactly what he says to these folks who ask him. I'm speaking the word of God. What matters is not what I say about myself, or who I am. What matters is what I say about Jesus Christ and who he is. That's what really matters. What matters is what the Scripture says, not the personality of the person who may speak it to you. There's a lovely verse of a hymn that's, I come back to it again and again, and it's so helpful. May your beauty rest upon me, as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. If you feel that ministry has to have your name on it, you haven't understood what it is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ very well. And this, folks, is of huge importance in our celebrity culture, where people always want to know who you are and what you're going to say about yourself. Remember this, you're only a voice. The name doesn't matter. What matters is not who we are, but it is the message that we bear. So, how are we to speak well for the Lord? How are we to bear witness well? Well, you've got to speak from the heart. You've got to speak to the heart. You've got to remember that you're only a voice. The big deal is his name, not your name. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. We're to be channels of God's mercy. It's not about us. Third, you want to serve God well, listen to what God says in Scripture. Look at this. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. If we are to be useful in speaking into the lives of others, we need to have minds and hearts that are well saturated in what God himself actually says. In other words, your ministry, your usefulness to God will be an overflow of your own walk with God in his word. You cannot give to others what you have not received yourself. And the word of God has to come with power to you before it can come with power through you. It must be in you in order that it can come from you. Now, Paul speaks about this. It happens in all kinds of ways. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? He says, now, God has comforted us so that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort with which he has first comforted us. In other words, the reality of an experience of the grace of God and of the truth of God has become earthed in Paul's own experience so that out of this he is able to minister effectively to others. So here is a great incentive for being in the Word of God. You want to grow in your walk with God, not only for his glory, not only for your own good, but also for the good of others. Because what is the point in being a Christian whose own experience is so shallow or so far in the past that you really have nothing that is fresh that's coming to you from God that you would be able to share with other people? A great Christian writer said many years ago, beware of living on the stale bread of your past experience of God. How much use do you think you're going to be this Christmas as a Christian believer with unbelieving people around you if all that you're doing is living on a past experience and there's no living way in which the Word of God is really filtering into your life and nourishing your soul? You want to be useful? Be in the place where you're listening to what God says in Scripture.
You're listening to Open the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Glory of the Lord. Now, we have to pause right here, but we're going to continue this message from Isaiah chapter 40 on our next broadcast. Our message is part of a larger series called Waiting for the Lord. And if you miss any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come and you can listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also order a copy of the series on CD. Just come to the website. You can check out the Open the Bible store. You'll see not just this series, but just about every other series that Pastor Colin has preached. Again, that's at openthebible.org. You can also connect and listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on the go for free if you have the Open the Bible app. Not only do we have our daily broadcast, but we have the weekend program and a bunch of tools and resources to help you learn more about God's Word. The app is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we can link you to it through our website, openthebible.org. Well, Colin, coming up on November the 9th, we have a special event happening that evening. Tell us what's going on.
Well, it's Open the Bible Story, a two-hour journey through the entire Bible story. It's like a kind of high-altitude flight over the whole Bible. Just 2 hours, do it in one evening, and you're going to meet five people from the Old Testament, learn about five events from the life of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, and then discover five marvelous gifts that God gives to every believer. It's a wonderful thing to get oriented to the Bible story as a whole. And so we're going to do it in one two-hour journey on November the 9th.
Well, we hope that you will be a part of that. You can find out more or register when you come to our website, openthebible.org. Again, that is Wednesday, November the 9th at 7 p.m. local time. You can find out more and register at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. Open the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported ministry of Open the Bible. God calls his people to speak tenderly into our broken world. Find out what we're to say next time on Open the Bible Weekend.